Welcome to Slow Conversations about Harden Estate. I'm Sarah Helen, Creative Director of many of the businesses here. And in this first series, I'm talking with Charlie Gladstone, one of the current custodians of the estate, about the revitalisation of the West End of Harden Castle. And we're back, episode 5 of Slow Conversations about Harden Estate. Hello, welcome back. I'm Sarah Helen, Creative Director at the Harden Estate. I'm sat here with founder and Creative Director and, and friend.
La grande fromage.
What?
Cheese.
Oh, the big cheese.
Yeah.
Charlie Gast. So we are sat on it's a really comfortable sofa in, I'm going to call it the kind of landing area. That's how I would call it, but I don't think...
Yeah, I think it is a landing. I mean, this is a lovely reupholstered Victorian sofa that I bought from some people I mentioned in the previous episode, Pointer and Pointer Antiques, who I think are just terrific. And I suppose that we should probably start here with the picture that we put very clearly that is the first thing you see when you kind of enter this apartment called the West End, which is Catherine Glynn. And... It was she who married William Gladstone, and it's thanks to her, this place belonged to her family, the Glynns, that we're here today. And you kind of helped me to become interested in Catherine Glynn. Just tell me kind of what sort of inspired you about her.
I really can't quite remember why, but at one point I just started kind of Googling her. I mean, so Glynn, we have the Glynn Arms in the village. We had this Glynn Way, which I've just moved on to, the main road through the village. And, you know, I think I was once just thinking, I don't know much about this. And I looked at her Wikipedia page, and she actually sounds like such an interesting woman. And she's just become kind of part of our kind of conversation, hasn't she? You know, since I think we were talking about an element of, you know, branding of the Glynn Arms. And I was... I just became intrigued, but her tagline is almost this informal genius. Is that right?
Yes, I mean, I think you're right. It's interesting, isn't it, that because of the way that names have traditionally run in families, you know, she had no brothers, so her husband inherited the estate. I mean, I think he was probably a pretty competent person to take over, and I'm not sure. I think the estate was going through some pretty difficult times when he did, but. You know, you almost then, it then becomes a Gladstone place, but actually it's really a Glynn place. And I think you just sort of mentioned her, and I realised that, again, this is a theme, and it's a theme indeed that very lovely piece about the West End and the rest of the estate in the Times recently touched on, is that, you know, that we are actively seeking to slightly adjust the story from a kind of men's place story to a women's story. And Catherine Glynn was called by, I think, her biographer, an informal genius. And as well as being a great beauty, she was, I think, an incredibly sort of intelligent, but, you know, informally intelligent person who I think could pick up things at the drop of a hat, and was very, very, I think, very chaotic in her, apparently, in her administration, and would... According to Masterton, Lucy Masterton, the poet who wrote about her a lot, would just leave letters scattered around on the floor, which a series of adoring acolytes would eventually pick up and post. And her husband was completely different. I think it won't surprise anyone to know, very tidy and very ordered. And I believe that she said to him that if he had married someone as tidy as himself, he would have been a terrific bore.
That's so funny. But I was literally just thinking as you were speaking then, I almost wish there was a room similar to Gladstone's Temple of Peace that could be her, you know, her place of refuge in here, and I could just imagine it full of papers and mess, and that would be quite an interesting story. But yet she sits quite proudly at the top of the stairs, very much kind of welcoming you into the West End, really, doesn't she?
She does, and I think you're right. I mean, you know, maybe we can take her legacy in more... And more ways, but I think you know, she was a great woman and a great beauty, and very, very close to her sisters. Indeed, two of them shared a wedding. They were such good friends, and at St Daniel's in the village here. But I like the fact that she's there and she's the sort of first point of contact. I don't know if she'd like this or not, but we have nonetheless developed a candle with the amazing Laura Thomas, which is a company based in Scotland that we originally worked with at Glendie and now do here, who make beautiful fragrances and shower wash and shampoo and stuff, and that we use here, and I think is a really interesting brand because it's a luxury brand that is truly British. And with Laura Thomas, we've made some candles and we've called them Informal Genius. And we have this picture of Catherine on that candle. And that's actually rather a famous portrait. And then a little bit of information about her in it. And I don't know if she would like the idea of a scented candle or not. Scented candles are quite Marmite things, aren't they? Some people like them and some don't, but I really like them.
Yeah, it's just a nod to her, isn't it? So let's talk about some of the things we can see around us here. I can see two beautiful mirrors, a nice pair of big mirrors. Where did you get those from?
I got those from France. I mean, they are incredible brass bistro mirrors, giant. They are very heavy and they are the real McCoy. And there's a dealer with which I deal called Vagabond. They call themselves Vagabond in France. And in fact, I bought the giant unit which defines the general store at Glendie, our other properties, in the shop from them. But I bought a few things anyway. They are amazing things, and took three people to hang. And then between them is actually a picture that I bought from the summer exhibition this year by Chris Levine of Stonehenge, covered in diamond dust. And Chris Levine is best known for his famous closed-eye portrait, which is often lenticular of the Queen, but also has photographed other iconic figures, including the Dalai Lama, Kate Moss, and Banksy. And I think this is interesting because he's moving, and he does other really interesting are more screen printed, but his photographs are of these kind of icons, and here he's maybe turning his attention to British kind of heritage icons rather than people. I mean, it's interesting because it looks frozen and the diamond dust makes it sparkle, but I like it a lot. I'm pleased with it.
It really kind of takes your eye as you pass it, I think, with the slight sparkle to it. So I recognise another Patrick Caulfield.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, I've been just collecting Patrick Caulfield entirely at auction for a long time. And actually most of the Caulfields in here come from a portfolio of which I think there are about 20 pieces based on some poetry. And I probably collected about a dozen of those 20-odd pieces.
Yeah, it's the colours, I think, for me, they're just really, they really complement Caroline's choice of colours across the whole place.
Yes. I just think it's a bit kind of, it's sort of, well, I don't think one should choose art necessarily to complement mm-hmm. colours. I think it's a bit like displaying your books by their spine colour. I'm not really, it's not my thing, but each their own. But it is great when a piece of art works.
Yeah.
And then down by the bathroom and loo, there's one of Cecil Beaton's original stage costume designs, which is nice. And then we should probably talk really about the stairwell, which has got a couple of portraits, and then really three other interesting, I think, pieces of art. And the picture of the fire is a photograph by Ellie Davis. She's a relatively young photographer, of which I've collected quite a bit, and is represented by the Crane Kaufman Gallery in Brighton. A lot of her pictures are of quite sort of ethereal woods and rivers and things. And what she often does is juxtapose one photograph on another. So in a lot of occasions you will see a photograph, say, of woodland or a river that has lots of sort of sparkles across this. And actually she's superimposed a photograph of stars or planets onto this picture. So I really like her work, and I like the scale of it. It's often very big. And this is one of my favourites. And then actually above that, we have got a giant starburst mirror from Spencer Swaffer. Now, a lot of the antiques in here, and I've had to buy antiques, have come from Spencer. And he is one of the most long-established and highly respected, I think, British antique dealers, and is a kind of true gent with a great eye and sort of frenetic energy. And he's been a real inspiration to me, because I think he's really good at what he does. And as is so often the case with a great dealer, he has a taste that is always consistent, but he can sell almost anything. And then moving upstairs from there, we have two particularly fantastic pictures. We have a Michael Craig Martin at the headphones with the bright pink. And then above that, we have a piece by Laquina, who is a young British artist, of which I've collected a couple of pieces. And then we move into the hall up there, and we could probably talk about that another time, shall we?
But don't forget the... I'm not sure what to call it. The pink? Pink room. Don't forget the...
No.
Don't forget that.
You're right. Yes. So there's this fascinating turret room up there with stained glass. And up until recently, it had sort of been a storage room and had some washing machines in it, I think, at one point. And Caroline, I think, very sort of sensibly said, let's just not try and make this room into anything. I mean, it's a circular room with a high stained glass window, and said she painted in pink, and we use this very bright pink in a lot of places. And we call it Caroline's pink, actually, because it's become a kind of identifying a thing of hers, and her office is painted in that colour. So, but I think she was absolutely right that, you know, not to try and make it into anything. So I thought for a long time and sort of walked past it 100 times. And actually what I've ended up doing is putting a plinth in there that is a simple... what's it called? Not plexiglass. Anyway, that what's it called, that stuff? Acrylic shot plinth, and which we have covered in this amazing material that is transparent but changes colour with the light. And our genius head of design, Rhys, has put that on all of the windows in the farm shop so that when the light shines through those quite narrow, but many of them, windows, it kind of looks like a spotlight. And on top of that, I've just put a bust. So it's a nice bit of juxtaposition. Yeah, I like that room a lot. And I think, you know, maybe we can change it regularly. Yeah,
absolutely. Brilliant. Well, we're just, I think, probably just about finished this floor. Again, lots more to see. So tune into the next episode.
Are you going to do the little...
I'm not doing a jingle.
No jingle.
Next time, maybe.
Bye.